Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Hello, 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 and hello. Welcome to another night amongst friends. We're in 2012. We are keeping it crunk. And tonight, we're going to continue to go all in and live because tonight we're talking about can we be transparent in the church? In this time and age, in the 2012, can I be transparent? Tonight, we have all of our hosts and hostesses on the line. We have Jeff.
Hello.
We have the lovely Miss Heather.
Good evening.
We have Brother PJ.
Hey, everybody.
And joining us a little bit later will be little brother Joey, who is no longer in the corner. And we temporarily let Jeff out. So, you know, just in case y'all hear some off-the-wall comments, it's because we let him out for just a little bit. But anyway, tonight here are your things. You can call us and join in on the conversation at 760-683-2662. You can email us if you would like to send in your comment at talk-to-us@theamongstfriendsradiotalkshow.com, or you can join us in our Facebook group or on our fan page on Facebook and leave your comments. We want to hear from you tonight. We want to know what's going on in your mind. Again, call us at 760-683-2662. We really want to hear from you. So, we're going to jump right on in and we're going to start talking about, you know, transparency in the church. Okay. Now, transparency for most people is probably not something that comes to mind when you think about churches, especially with all of the cliques and all of the different things that are happening in the church, whether it be a mega church, whether it be a smaller church. Transparency is just not something that we do anymore. And I was reading on transparency, and it says that transparency is not about distrust, it's about disclosure and prevents personal agendas from circumventing God's agenda, which produces irrelevancy. So, I want to know, my amongst friends, listeners, what do you think? I mean, if you're having a serious problem and you go in today's church, do you really believe that you're going to be healed or helped? Do you think that you would be welcome? I mean, like, just perfect example, if I like to have emotionless sex or purposely...
Oh,
or purposeless sex, and I go and tell you because I've now been talked to by Sister Heather who says that that's not possible, so I need deliverance. Mm-hmm. If
yep.
I go and talk to Sister Heather, am I going to be looked down upon? Are people going to be talking about me behind my back? I mean, am I really going to be helped? Can I really be transparent and say, you know what? I just like sex. I like a good dick. I like a good licking or sticking or whatever. And, you know, Sister Heather says it's wrong, so I need help apparently. Can I do that? Can I come to the church with issues like that? If I'm a drunk, can I bring my Colt 45 or my, what is it, bring my Ciroc? Can I bring my let's see, what else? Let me think. Can I bring my, I can't think of the dark liquor because I don't drink it. But I'm just saying, there's some, what you say, Jeff? I can't hear you.
Hennessy.
Oh, can I bring my Hennessy? Can I bring my, well, anyway, what I'm saying is, can I truly come to the church with my issues and be helped? I mean, because I've heard, yes, you can be transparent in the church because the church is there to help you. But then on the other side, I've heard here recently that you can't tell everybody your story. But I thought that was the purpose, that my story might help someone else overcome their pain. So, Heather, talk to me.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you feel about me? Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say that I do believe that you can bring what you have or come as you are to the church. You absolutely can. Is every individual church prepared to receive you? Not necessarily. And I don't think it's no one fault in that. But I think the church just isn't prepared to find the balance between the come as you are statement and the expectation and how people should grow and what the level of reverence should be for the church or what it should not be. Or I think the church does a lot of, we're going to love you when we come as you are, but on the backhand, there's all these rules and regulations when love should draw and the heart should be genuinely convicted towards change, towards progression, and we don't allow God to work because we're busy putting our rules and standards to work.
Okay.
That's my thought.
PJ, how do you feel?
That was a loaded question you gave. I'm going to try to answer it as simply as I can.
No, we got time. Break it down. Sit down in the text. As the preachers say.
All right, well.
You've been in Texas way too long. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think that you can bring your faults. If we were going to look at this biblically, the Bible says to bring your faults one to another, not necessarily to bring your sin one to another.
But that is my fault.
But your faults and your sins are two different things.
Okay, so explain it to us, PJ.
Well, let me finish my point first.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay, you're excited.
Jesus.
But I think that the church is in a place where they should be able to help, but some of the faults of the people who are trying to help are things like ulterior motives, are things like being judgmental. So what happens is sometimes you get hurt in the place where you are trying to be helped. There was an article, and I was reading about transparency myself. There was an article where there was a man who was dressed as a woman doing surgeries on other women in his home. So It's a clear example of somebody who's trying to get help, and they get damaged more from trying to get help. Faults are things that you struggle with. Sins are things that you practice. So,
okay, say that again. Faults are
things that you struggle with. Sins are things that you practice.
Okay,
so,
but I could be practicing something I'm struggling in.
Then it's a sin. So if you let me see if I can try to make it clear. If you struggle with alcohol, that's something that you have a knack for. That's something that you like. That's something that you want to do. You realize that it's not something that's good for you, and you don't want to do it.
I'm just saying, Pookie was saying the drugs be calling him. He don't want to do it, but Pookie said the drugs is calling him. So, is it a sin?
But if Pookie is saving up for drug money, and Pookie gets high every Friday, and he plans on getting high every Friday, and he don't plan on fighting it, then that becomes his sin.
Okay.
If you're a drug addict and you still have a taste for drugs and you still have a desire for drugs, but you don't hang around people who do drugs, you don't hang around drugs, you don't hang around areas where drugs are prevalent, and you still want it, then that's a struggle. But if your best friend is a crackhead and y'all go out every other day and you know that they have crack on it, how much of a fault is that, or is that a sin? But my point is, I think we should be able to be transparent. I don't think that the church is equipped to handle transparency. That's the real issue for me.
Why don't you feel that, with all the spirituality that's running rampant in all of these churches around the world, why isn't the church not equipped?
I think that the church has more equipped itself to be, one, a business. I think church teaches people how to wear masks and not develop relationships. So a lot of church, or let me say what my experience is, because everybody may not have had the same experience that I had. My experience of church is, as far as transparency is, well, if you smoked drugs last week, then my mother would say, well, don't say that in church, because you're going to embarrass our whole family.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm trying to save, face for my family. I am now learning how to put on the mask or how to keep up an image, even though I have a struggle.
But I don't understand. If the Bible talks about God meeting the people where they were and all of this kind of stuff, I don't understand why it is that everybody is trying to put their issues or put their family's issues in a closet, or the whole concept of don't put my business out there in the street, or what goes on in our house should stay in our house and stuff. I don't understand that. If the church is supposed to be a healing place, why do we not?
Go ahead. No, I'm saying the church is supposed to be a healing place, but I think there's also a level of what needs to be appropriate. And it's just like you wouldn't walk into work and say, oh, I smoked drugs last week.
Okay,
and not
but
that work is supposed, let me finish. Let me finish. Not that work is the healing place, but that's just not an announcement that's appropriate. So in the appropriate setting, if you want to have prayer, if you want special requests, if you're giving a testimony, if you are requesting the help of the saints and the fellowship and all of that, then there's an appropriate way to say that. And I don't think that people are so much as hiding what is. People are trying to escape the judgment of the church. And the church needs to just stand in the mirror and accept the responsibility that we are very judgmental, we are very critical, and even of our own, because we will take an instance like Zachary Timms. Regardless of all the lives that he has touched, all the many testimonies of his ministry and how it has changed people's lives, how people got saved, how he has given, everything that he's done, we'll take one incident in a hotel room and erase everything else that he's done and focus there. That's being critically judgmental. And nobody's saying you have to erase the fact that he may or may not allegedly have a drug habit, that is the truth or isn't the truth. The fact of the matter is that we are critical and judgmental. And so people are not escaping letting business out or not telling or don't shame our family, they're not trying to keep secrets. They're trying to escape judgment. Because no matter how much we say, oh, we love, oh, this and that, we will sit in the church and shout, cry, hug, and rub one another's back and get out the door and in the car and on the phone and in the parking lot and be like, oh, my God, I didn't know they was going through like that. Oh, well, she shouldn't be carrying that bag if they house in foreclosure. That's what the church does. And can't nobody tell me that they don't because I've been in it too long. So people aren't trying to hold secrets or keep stuff behind closed doors. They're trying to escape the critical eye of the church and the judgment seat.
I think that disclosure is rewarded by judgment in the church.
Yeah, disclosure, very much so.
I don't think that disclosure is rewarded by love or even help.
Mm-mm.
I think that disclosure is rewarded by judgment. And I think that when somebody discloses information, what they receive in turn is judgment, even more so than a solution.
So then the response to my question appears to be, no, you cannot be transparent in the church because, one, the church is not equipped, nor does it appear that they want to be equipped.
I don't think the church has become something else. Oh, as time has passed, I think the church has become more of a business. I think the church has become more about numbers, more about membership, more about keeping a good image of the church or a good image of the people of the church rather than to be a place where people are.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. It's easier to pray for somebody or to rub somebody's back in church than to go to their house and help them with their problem.
Right. And really what it boils down to is that, like, for me or our generation, how we believe or how we see Christ and what people like to garner as, oh, that's just traditional, oh, that's just the handcuff, that's the ball and chain, that's fire and brimstone. The problem that the way I see it is that holiness, salvation, the characteristics, Christian behavior, discipleship are all still true and right. The problem is that the church can't teach that because it is not willing to walk in that. An example, we can all walk out here as the church and say, oh, no, we pro-life. You shouldn't have no abortion. You shouldn't have no abortion. But at the end of the day, when that woman has that baby, where is the church to help her raise that baby? See, people that I know, like Emma Dudley, who say that, they're going to go buy clothes. They're going to make sure there's Similac. They're going to walk with that young girl because the church is saying the right thing to do is to have your child. And then missionaries and men in the church are going to support and surround and help and build. We're not willing to do that. We just want to stand outside and protest. These are the rules and regulations. Oh, but you figure out the plan to follow these rules and these regulations. And that's not how it was established. If we were doing, everybody wants to talk about, oh, we fivefold ministry. We're not doing missions. We're not doing evangelism. We're not doing it. And so you can't say this is what we believe and this is what you should or shouldn't do, and then you don't have anything to back it up. Because like TJ said, when I got a crying, screaming baby, you can't tell me, oh, pro-life and God will take care of you. No, God put you here to help take care of me. Mm. We're not going to open our doors and let that young lady and her baby move in. And so in her mind, it's cheaper to spend $300 on an abortion and be done with the situation than it is to have a child in 18 years of stress, financial struggle, educating that child, clothing that child, feeding that child, sheltering that child, and myself. And nobody can share with her the light at the end of the tunnel in the church. Nobody's going to take that long walk with that young lady. But we definitely going to say, oh, you shouldn't do this.
Hmm. Then, Jeff, what do you feel? What are your comments about the topic?
You can take your stuff to church, but to me and for me, you can take it to God just as quick in your living room. So you can take your stuff to church, but you got to guard your grill just like as if you was at work, just like as if you were starting a new relationship with anybody. You know, you just don't give up the goods that quick and leave yourself to be in a vulnerable state. So, you know, if you want to go into a new church or be in your existing church and strengthen relationships with people, go right ahead. But just know that you're dealing with people at the end of the day. Now, those who have a $3,000 suit on, drive a Mercedes-Benz, and you call them pastor all you want, that ain't God. That's just
what's not God.
That $3,000 suit wearing Mercedes Benz driving.
Why isn't it?
Because for me, you can be just as toe up from the flow up as any other person in the church, problems or not.
But what does the suit and the bands have to do with whether or not they're legitimate? Because I'm sure the man that owns the company or runs the company you work for can buy a $3,000 suit and wear it and drive a Benz, and you don't say he's unqualified to do his job.
Right, but I'm trying to keep it in the context of us talking about church and not about my boss.
But what I'm saying to you is that statement is just totally left field and wrong. A pastor can definitely wear a $3,000 suit if he can afford it and drive a Benz.
Right, exactly. That's just me taking a jab at the preachers who do that type of thing and who are not doing the good work.
Okay, well, then that's what you need to end that statement with. When you have a $3,000 suit and a Benz and you're not doing the good work, there's a problem. But I don't care if you have on a Goodwill suit and catch the bus and you're not doing the work. There's still a problem.
Right. Deidre?
Because we can't say God is rich and got a cattle on a thousand hill, and you can't have a measly $3,000 suit.
Right. So
when some of us got $1,000 pocketbooks.
Well, okay. Well,
I'm totally gone. Jeff.
I know you're gone. I'm trying to give you the parachute so that you can land off that cliff that you jumped off very nicely. That's all.
I didn't jump off no cliff. I'm just shocked. Like, where did that come from?
It's all good.
Okay. Please call again. At 760-683-2662. We would love to hear your comments before Heather, you know, does a couple of things to Jeff and PJ has to come and referee. All right, but we want to hear from you. So, PJ, what are your thoughts on about what Jeff said? About having to be guarded. Go ahead.
I had a comment about the suit and the about the suit and the Mercedes Benz. I don't know if that has anything to do with a person's qualification for their job.
Well, okay, now I know that it was because Heather kind of zoned in on that, but what he was saying or what I was hearing was that you don't necessarily have to take it to the church because you have God at home.
That point I totally agree with. And it goes back to my first statement, and it goes back to what we talked about last week. I think a lot of times the church does not equip people to deal with God. I think that the church equips people to deal with a pastor or to deal with a man so that man can deal with God for them on their behalf. And I don't think that everybody is taught how to maintain a proper relationship with God in order so that they can bring what they have to God. I think a lot of times people bring what they have to church or to church people, and we have to realize that church people are not perfect. It doesn't matter who you are or what your position is. There's nobody that's perfect. So when you disclose things, they can be interpreted, especially if they're interpreted by imperfect people, they can be interpreted wrong. Jeff also said something about guarding your heart, and I really think he's correct on that one. I don't think that you just walk up to anybody and you just start telling them your business. I just don't think that that is smart. I think that in certain circles, in certain places or in certain times, I think that there's a right time to do it. I think that we have to learn when to disclose, what to disclose, and who to disclose it to. A lot of times we disclose things to people who can't help us, and I just don't think that that's smart.
Okay, but if I'm new to Christ and I'm hurting and I'm listening to the scriptures about doing the right thing and the church being there for you, how am I going to have the wherewithal to be like, okay, well, I can't go to this sister, I can't go to this brother, who am I going to? I mean, I can't talk to nobody.
Yeah, you can, but I think that's the obligation of the church to have those persons in place that when you come with a request, I mean, it's just like if you walk into the church and you say, you know, I need to talk to somebody, you know, I got some issues that I want to deal with or whatever, there should be a system in place where they can say, okay, we have the appropriate person for you to talk to help deal with that. Or if there's a sister or brother that you just are sitting down, you know, sitting there, hi, how are you doing, how are you doing, and you begin to share, the body should have the appropriate people in place to direct you for that kind of assistance and the wherewithal to know maybe we need to get some more professional clinical help, things of that nature. And that should be what the church is equipped to do. It doesn't always happen, and I do think you should guard your heart, and you should treat the church just like you would treat any other entity in the sense of you wouldn't just walk out and break out in the middle of a restaurant and start telling them. I mean, we know people who do it, but you wouldn't just start telling your whole life story and that you feel like you're going to commit suicide.
Yeah, but just a few minutes ago, you were talking about, you know, you wouldn't go to work or you wouldn't go to the restaurant. Okay, you're talking about public places. I'm talking about the church, the place where
the
I'm
church
supposed
is still
to
a public place.
And, but it's the place I'm supposed to go and it says that I'm supposed to go and love.
And what did I say? I said you need to be directed to the appropriate person, and the church needs to have those people in there. Just because you walk in the church, you wouldn't just walk up to a kid and start talking. Now, they in there.
They might.
But it's not appropriate. But that's not appropriate. And if you do that, then we know that there's a more deeper issue, and we need to refer you to something clinical
and
a bit more
saying.
Technical.
What I'm saying is that
if you come to the church, it's just like anybody, if you come to the church and say, oh, I need financial help with my rent, they're going to direct you to, if there's not a missionary ministry set up for that, then they'll direct you to a deacon, a trustee that deals with Christian charity.
No, what they're
if you're a woman having marital problems.
No, what they're going to do is say, ma'am, have you tithed? Are you a member of this church?
Now, we're talking about somebody off the street. And so I'm saying if you're a young lady and you want some help, okay, you have marital problems, okay, let's get a seasoned woman who's had a 50-year marriage that's a steward in the church. I mean,
okay.
There are people
within the church directly. What are these churches at?
It's several churches.
Where
several
are these churches at?
I know staff on the District of Columbia. I was going to say Reed Temple has ministries for things like that, grieving, depression, cancer. There's several churches that have complete ministries. I mean, Glen Arden has a whole house and food and pantry and all sorts of community things and services that they provide, that even government agencies refer people to these churches. So they are out there. I'm not at all bashing the church and saying that the church doesn't have resources. What I'm more so saying is not the physical building and not always the leadership, but the people of the church, whereas we could be those individuals to help and to do missions. Because sometimes what people really need is for an individual, you could do something that the church can't do for them. And support, be a resource, be a shoulder, an ear. And so I'm saying we need to get equipped to do that, but there are resources that are available.
Deidre, you mentioned that if you were new to Christ,
mm-hmm.
When you started this whole jump, if you are new to Christ, that means that you are not necessarily walking totally upright within the light. You are kind of bent over to the side. You still got a little pep in your step from the street or from whatever you just came out of, and you're trying to get right. You're trying to walk upright. So while you are this new child of God, you need to know that you just don't walk into a church and start talking to somebody who is, you know, they could be a new child of God just like you, but have like 3 weeks on you. So they still crooked themselves. So for you to go talking to them trying to get right, it's not going to help you. So what Heather is saying, I think, is dead on. You need to get with somebody who has
And what I am saying is that the average Joe is not going to necessarily walk into Reed Temple or Glen Arden or the Potter's House or any of these other ministries that are fully equipped with all of these different programs. I am hurting. I am new to Christ. I'm going to the church because my grandma says that is where the Lord is, and I need somebody to help me. So
okay,
I walk
Deidre,
in that church.
Nobody said that you needed to go to
there is a time and a place, and you need to guard your heart, and you need to do this, and you need all these five or six steps I need to take, and I just want somebody to help me. I got a problem. I'm walking in the church.
No. But you missed that. You totally missed what I said.
Okay,
nobody said that you had to go to Reed Temple or to the Potter's House.
No, I'm not.
Let me finish.
But that's not what
my... Let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay,
but my point to you is it can be a storefront church. It can be my church. It can be Sally Sue's Baptist Church on the corner. I'm saying when you walk in there and you need some help, are you just going to barge in the door, "I need some help, and my grandmother said the church is where I should come"?
Absolutely.
Okay, then when you do that, you know what's going to happen? The usher or somebody with some sense is going to get up and say, "Darling, lower down, we're in service. Come right here, let me talk to you." When that person talks to you, let me finish.
Okay, no, wait, no. This is what I'm saying. If we're supposed to be the body of Christ in helping people, if I walk in that church and says, "I need help," and we're in service, why is it that we can't say, "Okay, then we're gonna let the Holy Spirit do some work, and we're gonna address this right now because that is what we're here for"?
But that's not what we're there for.
We're in the middle of praise and worship, or we're in the middle of tithes and offering. So look here, Deacon Brother Jones, get that person right there because they are clearly crazy.
No. I didn't say anybody said you was crazy. I said what somebody would do is get up and say, "Excuse me, come on. We're in the middle of worship. Let me talk with you. We're definitely here to give you help." We are not there to hear your announcements and stop everything that we're doing and cater to your help. We are there to help and to service, but that's not what we're there for at that moment. And just like anywhere else, you don't walk into a restaurant, you came to eat, and they there to feed you. You don't walk, give me a table and a piece of chicken, I'm here to eat.
How
come
I can't? How come I can't?
Because it's not appropriate.
I'm hungry.
It's not appropriate.
My healing.
It is not appropriate.
Okay.
And so what I'm saying is what you would do if you walked in the church and you screamed like that, someone would get up and assist you. And if I, as a member or an usher or someone standing in the lobby with you, I would say, okay, well, let me find a missionary. Let me find a deacon. Most folks are knowledgeable within their church of where the resources are and who to direct you to. Or the appropriate person who heard you do that will get up and come to you and attempt to assist you. So I'm not saying that the church is closing their doors or closed-minded. I'm simply saying that there is a time and a way for you to receive help and an appropriate person to give it to you. And no more than you standing out in the middle of the street hollering you need gas and it's a gas station, it's no more than you should just walk into church and go to screaming and hollering that you need help.
Well, the good Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Yeah, the Bible says
not holler out and demand.
Okay,
ask.
So if I walk in the church and says
you walk in the church, more than likely there's an usher back there by the door or a greeter in about 110 of the 120 churches, and you would say to them, "Hi, how are you? I'm struggling right now, and I need some help. I just need somebody to talk to, or I need some money help." Either that person is going to say, "What do you need? How can I help you?" Or they're going to go and get someone that they think can help you. They're not going to tell you, oh, get out of our church. We don't do that. That's not what's going to happen.
Okay. Well,
is your definition, Deidre, being transparent?
Huh?
Is the definition you're giving of how you would ask for or request for help, are you equating that with being transparent?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I'm hearing a lot of stuff, and while I agree with a lot of what you're saying, we have to understand that there are people out there who may want help or may need something. And what I'm hearing is there's a time and a place. The church is not equipped. You got to guard your heart and all this kind of stuff. So for someone who is not seasoned and who may not know the rules and regulations or the proper things of how things are done, what do they do?
Nobody is suggesting that there are rules and regulations for requesting help, or that there's a process, or that anybody would know off the top of their head. It's just like when you go into any agency or anything, when you walk in the door, there is a security guard or receptionist says, I need to see your ID and you need to sign in. When you get to the fourth floor, you need to put this coat. Somebody is going to be there for someone who is unlearned, unchurched, unknowledgeable. Someone is going to instruct you in the way to do that. And for us to sit here and have a conversation under the guise of somebody just being totally blinded and not knowing what to do or how to achieve that, that's crazy.
But it's not
because
crazy.
Just like anywhere
else,
there are
people out there like that.
And I am saying to you that just like anywhere else, somebody is going to instruct them in the way to go. So I'm not seeing that person as the person that's needing or where we need to guard the conversation of transparency, because I think somebody coming and asking for help, unchurched, on this and on that, people off the street, unchurched, 100%, you know, on the other side, they don't have any apprehensions. When I think about the subject of what we're talking about, can you be transparent, I'm talking about those of us in the church who are sitting in a women's group and everybody's sitting around talking about being single and not fornicating. Can a sister really say, you know what, me and my man still getting it down, and I'm just not there yet?
Well, I mean, there are various levels of transparency, but
okay.
But before we go there, because we can go there, Heather, we do have Houston from South Carolina who has been patiently waiting, and I'm so glad that you have something to say, but you probably have to say it to me, so bring it. I'm ready.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Can you hear me?
I can.
I believe the subject is, why is the church, well, I want to say some churches are transparent.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, some churches are transparent because they do not want to become accountable to God.
Mm.
Somebody said earlier about the preacher or whomever, a $3,000 suit and a Mercedes. A lot of today's churches are busy chasing titles. And all these other things that are so transparent that they forget that there are people hurting in the church and that there are people coming into the church that are possibly hurting. Now, I'm going to speak from personal experience. When I spent like 20 years in this particular church. When I first got there, before I went to the church, I was on my way to the club the night before after being, coached by someone. But then I decided to go. Now, in this particular church, there was a certain young child whom people had no problem in telling me that I ain't saved, I ain't never going to be saved, but yet they talked about this young particular child saying that he was deaf and mute. So when I, who was about to go to the club the night before, stepped out on faith and decided to communicate with that child, long story short, the child was just shy. He didn't trust anybody. I mean, not many people. And my second reason is we was having praise and worship one particular day. And this was years later after I had started, a mentoring group. And God spoke to me and says, open your eyes and look. And when I opened my eyes, one of my boys was gushing blood while sitting on the floor. The so-called, nobody wanted to touch him. Nobody. This person that was doing praise and worship, she was, the women in the group, she didn't want to do anything. But soon as I went out on faith, trusted God, and soon as I put my hands on that child, this particular female wanted to give me instructions. So I shot her a nasty look.
Mm.
And when I turned around, this other person that was supposed to have been watching the door saw the same thing. Did not want to touch the person, but yet they want to give me instruction. So I shot him a look.
Mm.
People can do what they want to do when it's convenient to them. But when it's not in their comfort zone, I ain't going to deal with it. Bottom line, a lot of churches just are not equipped to hold secrets and do the will of God. Because just like females, some men have diarrhea at the mouth. And I'm going to be honest with you. Can we talk? We all adults.
Sure.
These same people accuse me of sexual innuendos.
Oh.
But I'm going to give you my word. As God is my witness, it never happened. But soon as the pastor hoed and several other people in the church was hoeing, which was a known fact.
Did you say they was hoeing?
Everybody wanted to say, I'm sorry?
You said they was hoeing in the church?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
I cannot.
But the problem that made me leave this particular church was, it was the pastor. He was one of them. Oh, I can really get deep. But that's what made me leave the particular church.
Okay.
And I, as a black man, have become very leery when I go to churches. And to be honest with you, sometimes I just want to lay in my bed and catch services on television or the radio, because I learned the hard way. A lot of modern-day churches just don't want to become accountable. They're too busy chasing titles, positions, and things that really don't amount to a hill of beans.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Wow. We appreciate your comments. Heather, do you have something you would like to share?
I can't.
TJ?
Wow.
I could not. Oh no. Somebody please. Lord, I do want to say, Houston, I appreciate that. Was a gut buster laugh. Woo, after a hard week. Woo.
I didn't tell you to fix it. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I really can't. My experience is not his experience. Really don't have a lot to say about that. But I think that the church as a body has to equip itself to help people and to deal with transparency. I do not think that the church should just entertain, you know, anybody that wants attention, because here's what I think. I think people expect the church to be everything. I think people expect the church to service them and all of their needs when they want to be serviced. And when that doesn't happen, people get mad and say that the church isn't this and the church isn't that. And the church is not necessarily about the people. And I think that's where a lot of us get it real twisted up. So if you're looking at people and you're basing your church experience or your experience with God on the people, God is going to lose every time, because the people are flawed. You know, if you walk in church yelling and screaming that you need help right now, then, you know, there's some obvious flaw in you by, one, your own admission, two, by how you're going about receiving help. So I think that there are ways and methods that people can receive help. I think there are ways and methods that people can be transparent. Just a way earlier statement, and this guy's earlier statement, you know, they said, well, churches become about titles, and I think that's what people think. I believe, well, the church that I go at, I don't see my leadership being a title-driven thing. My pastor had one of the biggest churches in this city. He got a Toyota Corolla, 2002. So, you know, if that, I don't see him being one of those type people, which is why I can follow him and I can be transparent. I also don't think that the church puts itself in a position where people even have a desire to be transparent to them so that they can handle problems. All right, everybody's still laughing under their breath.
What'd you say?
I said it sounds like everybody's still laughing under their breath.
We're not still laughing. We were just recovering
okay
from that. No, no, no. I agree with what you're saying. I think that, you know, there does need to be some equipping, and I'm not saying that the church in total is not there or that there are not resources that are available or people within the body that cannot help or be of assistance, but I do think that we have, you know, moved away from the people aspect that you talk about and being there for the people and sold something or advertised something that we cannot meet the standard of. You know, to tell someone the church is this for you, the church is that, you can come to the church, you can do this. We have not fulfilled that obligation. And just like any other entity, if you say you provide a service or you have a benefit or a portion of goods and I come in and that's not provided, you lose. And so I don't think the church any longer in leadership or within the body looks at the membership. You know, we all talk about churches come more business and about money, and to some extent there is a business side that needs to be addressed and it needs to be fulfilled. That's no getting around that. And so the church also with that needs to look at each member as a customer of that business, of that brand, and ensure that you're providing what you're saying your standard is. Because it's one thing to give a person a packet, a pamphlet, welcome them, you know, go out into the community and evangelize, but once you get me there, can you provide for me? Can you sustain me? Am I going to be spiritually fed? Am I going to be socially nurtured? Am I going to be equipped to handle life, to progress, to just have a walk? Are you going to give me the tools I need to build quality relationships with my family, my friends, and God? Is that really there? And not necessarily not right now and not in every ministry. And so yeah. I think that's where we kind of need to come in.
Okay. Jeff, you have any comments?
No.
Jeff?
Yes. Yes, Heather.
Why don't you have any comments?
You know me. When it comes to church, you know, I'm always a little to the left. So, you know, a lot of things for me when it comes to church is like, you know, when I hear people talking about curtains, that's not my conversation. So, some things, not all.
Okay. Okay. Okay, but Heather, getting back to the earlier conversation of different transparencies, you're absolutely right. Initially, the conversation was to say, you know, yes, I'm in a I'm at the women's meeting and we're talking about being single and having the ability to say, on the real, y'all, I'm still having sex with my dude. I mean, honestly, I don't see that happening. But it goes back to everything that y'all have said early on in the conversation with, you know, people not being equipped and what the church needs. And it's I just don't think that in this time, this age, where the church has, how it has evolved into what it is now, I don't care how many services or things that's available in the church, I still don't believe that you can be transparent in today's church.
Well, I believe that there are ministries out there that you can be, and there are opportunities to be, but overall as a whole, no, you really can't. And that's something that I think each one of us as individuals have to work on individually and encourage one another
corporately to do, to, you know, gather ourselves and say personally, when a brother or sister shares something, be mindful of how I take that in. Because even though you may not speak it, how you receive that information, you know what I mean? What are your thoughts behind that? Are your thoughts of love, compassion, empathy, and being a resource and encouragement, or are you having thoughts of, wow, I can't believe that. Oh, I didn't know that about, you know what I mean? What are your thoughts? And I'm not saying that we're going to become super human or not going to have natural, please don't sex me anymore, natural emotions or feelings about things where we might, you know, where a thought may pass, but, you know, that's why I think in the Bible when it speaks about do unto others as you would have them do unto you, you know, turn your cheek, all of these, you know, forgiveness and all of those things where it speaks of how we treat one another and winning one another by love and the greatest of these being love and loving your brother. All of those things, if you filter it through the love filter and the compassion of what you need, and I'm not saying that that says excuse behavior, allow behaviors, condone, but how you address them, how you process them, and how you begin to deal with that person is what's going to make the difference, because ultimately, be it a fault, a sin, a struggle, a temptation, at the end of the day, it's going to be an individual's transformation. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be singular in how they transform. It's not going to be something that they can do in conjunction with somebody else. It's not going to be something they can do as a team. But each person is going to have their own experience and their own transformation. And what I've learned personally and inclusive of other people is that God can and will deal with people where they are. And when God begins to deal with them, if we back out of the way, if you just present something and allow people to make a choice, when they choose, they begin to take on the responsibility of that choice and their obligation to that choice and their level of commitment to what they chose. And God can deal with them and change their hearts, because you changing somebody doesn't really change them. It just masks the behavior or the display of it. But if God deals with them and they build that relationship, they become more conscious of who they are. They see a why to do it differently. They see the benefits of doing it differently. And that's not something that we can give individuals.
Okay.
But I think there are certain sections where you could be. I have a men's group at church, and we call it Vegas. And the rule is whatever we talk about in this men's group stays in this men's group. You know, and one thing that we admit is that everybody has dirty hands. And the person who doesn't have dirty hands, you know, we really don't want you in the group because you can't help us. Because the reality is a lot of people want to look holy or look like saints or portray the role of saints. And that's not really what we're supposed to do. Our real job is to point people to God. And if we do that, it doesn't matter too much who we are, but a lot of times we point people to us, and that's not just pastors. You know, that's people who are leaders in groups. Those are people who, you know, have some responsibility, and I just think that we have to join in the responsibility along with whatever leadership or titles that we get, because a lot of times people have titles but no responsibility. And to be a Christian is to deny yourself and to help somebody else. So, you know, in talking about transparency, we have to ask ourselves, what do we do with the information that we're given? Do we use that to step on somebody and make ourselves look better? Or do we take that information as a reminder of maybe where we came from? Or a reminder that, you know, we have a lot of work to do. And I just want to apologize to Heather. She told me not to text her. Sorry.
Don't be texting Heather and you not texting everybody else. We won't be on in the conversation, too. That's just rude. I thought we was amongst friends. You're supposed to be able to share. And see, what you're doing is you're saying that you can't be transparent amongst friends.
I can be transparent amongst friends. I just can't be transmitted to everybody that's listening into this call.
Well, fine.
Be nice.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all are off the hook.
I don't want to be nice.
Okay. I know it's difficult.
Okay.
So has anybody on the phone ever had a situation where they wanted to be transparent in their local ministry but were not able to, or where they were and it was beneficial for them?
Yes, I've had a situation like that.
Which one? Which way? Was it good or was it bad?
As a whole, it was good. It was bad for me because I didn't want to be transparent. At the church where I am now, when my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she was pregnant, I knew that was a bad look for me as a church leader. I knew it would be a bad look just as a Christian. So how I grew up is if something like that happened, you lost your position, you got fired, and that was my mindset. So I got into a meeting with my pastor, and long story short, he told me that I couldn't quit, and he would not let me quit. And what he told me was that the problem with people is that, and the problem with the church is that we only see people in two ways at church. We either see them on top, being holier than thou, or we either see them fall from grace and look a mess and make the church look bad. That's the only two ways we see people. He said, but sometimes we need to see people struggle through their situation and work it out.
Right.
Salvation is something that you have to work out. It's not something that is bestowed upon you. Contrary to popular belief, once you become saved, it does not mean that you're perfect at that very moment. It's something that you have to work out. The Bible says that you have to work out your soul salvation. And what my pastor told me is that I have to work this thing out. I have to continue to work. I have to continue to work with whatever feelings I have, you know, whatever judgments people want to bring on me, you know. And I had to tell my group what was happening, you know, and they had to either receive or reject me, and I had to work through it. So my transparency worked out for the good. It made me a better person. It made me struggle. It made me struggle with my guilt, because a lot of times guilt is a powerful weapon that people use in church. It shouldn't be. I mean, because guilt is a horrible thing by itself. But the guilt of what I've done and the fact that people knew it made it harder for me to do what I was supposed to do. But because of that, I am no longer judgmental of people who struggle with stuff or people who have it or people who do things like that, because I had to go through a situation where, okay, I had to disclose some information that I didn't want to disclose. My idea was, okay, I'll just move and nobody has to know until this whole thing is over, until after I'm married and after the child gets older. You know, then people know I'll be in another state. So you know, my pastor said, well, you're one of those people, you have to just kind of stick through this, and you have to work this out. People have to see you struggle through this and overcome this. And that's what I had to do. You know, so I don't have a problem being transparent, because I've been through it before. You know, I've been judged before. So for me personally, I don't have a problem with being transparent or saying, hey, look, I'm not there yet. I still struggle with some things. I'm not perfect. I'm just not one of those people who's holier than thou, or one of those people who doesn't think that I make a mistake or I don't have any struggle, or there's not a thing that I'm dealing with.
Hmm. Well, I have a question, but then I think you answered it, so I'm gonna let it stay in the file.
No, ask it.
No, because I think you answered it. I think you answered it.
Well, ask me so we can be sure. We are amongst friends.
Yeah, but I don't feel like being transparent right now.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm joking. No, seriously, I think you answered the question, and I don't want to sound like I'm asking something that I know you answered.
I don't mind.
So I'm going to go ahead and answer Heather's question. As far as the church is concerned, for those people who know me, I am literally an open book. I have at sometimes people tell me, I'm going to need you to just close your mouth, because everything you experience, you don't have any problem sharing with anybody. Now, there are certain things that I struggle with that ain't no way in the world I'm going to take it to the church at all. And it has a lot to do with my mouth is not ready. No, hold up. The people in the church are not ready for my mouth when I would probably get defensive, because I'm trying to grow and trying to let stuff go, and I come and then people give me the side eye, and I'd be like, well, that's why your husband is XYZ, and that's why you such. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm joking. I would not do that. I don't think that I would be prepared for the backlash that would come with me being transparent. But for the people who are around me, it goes back to something that Jeff said earlier about I don't necessarily need the church to be transparent. I have amongst friends. I mean, one of the main reasons for me even signing on to the whole Amongst Friends radio talk show was the ability to be transparent about the dealings of life and how I handle it, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. And it's actually helping me, because there's some stuff that I say that I would have originally been too embarrassed or was afraid that I would get backlash from it. But y'all make my skin tougher. So I guess in a sense, I've had a positive experience.
Praise Jesus.
Exactly. Give him the glory. Hallelujah.
Okay.
What about you, Jeff?
What was the question again?
The question is, have you had good experiences or bad experiences with being transparent in the church? Is that the reason why you, when church is being discussed, you kind of get closed mouth and don't want to talk about it?
Yes, I've had a lot of bad experiences. You know, my mother dragging me out of church because I wanted to tell, mother so-and-so, or, you know, sister, I'm 67 years old, and little boy, you can't tell me nothing about Jesus, you know, wanting to tell them off because, I'm a free spirit, free-willed individual, and I'm not going to play by these rules that you have set up in this church. And yeah, so it's been a lot of bad for me. It's been good, and I'm happy that I have the good, but I think I have more bad overshadowing the good.
Okay. And Heather, answer your own question.
I've had, you know, pretty decent experiences. I think for me, I've always had a good group of mentors and friends within the church that I felt comfortable talking to and sharing with. I have found that, you know, there is a lot of, you know, I think I've been the victim, not the victim, I don't want to use that word because it wasn't like it was, you know, such a big deal for me, but I think the recipient of judgment or the pointed finger, things like that, just by way of being the preacher, the child, and having to, you know, deal with it from that perspective. But otherwise, it's, you know, it's okay for me. I know that personally I've always tried to allow people to be who they are and to accept them the way they are. And not just because it's the right thing to do, but I know that a lot of times my motivation has been selfish because I feel like that's how people see and receive me. You know, I definitely think that we should challenge each other to be better and to go the next step or go to the next level. But at the end of the day, I think we should accept one another the way we are and receive people how they are, in what they are, doing what they're doing, and encourage and push them towards their change or their better place. But, you know, I can't think of a situation where, I mean, I know, you know, when I got pregnant and I didn't have a husband, I know that was a big thing for everybody. I know it was, you know, a wonderful, sensational conversation and so much to say. And I remember, you know, people using the scripture, you know, if a man can't control his own house and govern his own children, then he shouldn't be leading the people of God. But at the end of the day, I mean, is my father really going to be able to tell me, you know, pull your drawers up at 24 years old? I mean, pretty much you kind of do the things that you want to do how you want to do them. And I wouldn't say that I was raised in anything different or not to do, you know what I mean, to go against that. Of course, I was reared to wait until marriage and safe sex and all of that, but I made a conscious choice. So I think, you know, I don't necessarily know if it was transparency or if it was the obvious, as your stomach begins to get big, that, you know, that's what comes with the territory. So, I mean, you know, for me, it's been learning experiences. It's been growth. It's been challenging. And much like PJ said, the biggest thing for me was dealing with me personally about guilt, shame, and consequences, and discovering how you recover, how you come back, and how you move forward from something of that nature in the face of the same people that may have ridiculed or pointed the finger or judged.
Okay, so that brings my question that I was having for PJ. What was it? I mean, I understand the guilt. Was it your upbringing that brought on the guilt of you? Because both of the situations were, you know, PJ's wife was pregnant and you were pregnant. So was it the guilt of how you guys were raised that made you like, oh my gosh, now I have to go and expose this information even though I don't want to? And then the second question is, you know, how was it? Was it because you had a good group of people around you that made you feel comfortable? You know, because you both of you have said, you know, you feel that you have to guard your heart and you have to go to the right people and what have you. You know, was it because of the people that you had around you, or was it you just saying, you know what, I just got to do the right thing? And then the third question is, how long did it take you to get up out of yourself and be like, you know, I'm just going to have to do it?
Well, I think two things. To your first question, for me, and I can't speak for PJ, but I kind of, you know, I kind of think we're parallel in this a little bit, is that it's not so much how you've been raised. You know what I mean? I think you move outside of that. As you get older, you begin to think, you know, mom and dad, I don't want to be like you. I mean, you understand their rules, you understand their regulations and, you know, the training and rearing and growing up in the church. But I think for me, it was more about you can't be in leadership, you can't confess something, and now here's an obvious place where you're not what you said you are. Or it looks like you're not who you are, and I think that's because it's always been, if you're a Christian and if you're saved, you don't do this. And that's not necessarily true.
Right.
Because you can do this and still be saved and still be a Christian. Now, is a characteristic of that? Maybe not. But can you do this and be that? Absolutely. So I think that was the bigger portion, was the own self, not so much the external forces of family, church, or what people said, because that wasn't really my big issue. It was more about the personal, are you this or are you not that? And how can you be this and how can you be that? And so, you know, moving beyond that, you know, personally, that was, you know, refreshing. I think, you know, I did have a great support system. I did have a situation where there were people within my family and outside of my family and with my child's father's family that were very supportive, very nurturing, to create a sense of security, whereas it wasn't such a panic or a worry or a stress to be in the situation, but it was always a plan of execution and how to move forward and how to move forward where it was best and beneficial for me. And then your third question was how long did it take? I mean, I think it's always a governing process. I mean, for a lot, you know, for me, it was a lot of different situations that each time you're faced with it, and, you know, because once you're in your local ministry, I mean, that's one level. But then when you talk about you can't just sit in the house and be shunned away for 10 months. And so externally, it's always a thought of being seen in public, being seen by people from other churches or people from school or other places who know that you're the preacher's daughter and the preacher's sister. So it was just over time, it became less stressful. It became less panicky. The fear factor just wasn't there anymore because there was a certain level of acceptance. There was a community and a support system of love and nurturing there that didn't so much have to worry me. But I do remember having a friend who was a preacher, and he was going to minister one night during the week, and he was like, come go to church with me. And I was like, no, I really shouldn't. I don't want to go. And he was like, no, come go with me. And it was really big for me because it was difficult for me to put him in the predicament of I'm being seen with you, you're not married, and you're pregnant, and I got to go in and preach the gospel. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that kind of thing, it was just like small things like that that continually brought me out of the fear and the personal guilt or shame of the situation. But God knows if I could turn back the hands of time, Jesus.
Well, did you, for me, it was several factors. It was one of the factors was that the music director before me was a he was a very judgmental guy, and he judged people, and then, you know, he got his girlfriend pregnant, and they literally ran him out of the church. So for me, one, I kind of felt like, hey, stupid, how are you gonna get yourself in the same exact predicament? You know, that makes you not smart. And then part of what I felt was a realization is that I am successful. susceptible to a fall. I'm susceptible to a mistake. I'm susceptible. You know, it wasn't something that I was, you know, it wasn't something that I was practicing. I had been out the country, you know, to pick me up. And we were talking about getting married, and, you know, we went out and all that, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. And we all had. So for me, it wasn't that I was practicing. It's like, oh, boy, how could this happen? And then for my position, you know, I was thinking about, okay, what about the people I let down? What about the people who I mentored? What about these people who look up to me and who, you know, derive strength from me? But the reality is that, you know, the reality is I'm nobody to derive strength from, period. You know, people derive their strength from God. And I'm just a, you know what I mean? I'm just a vessel, you know. Sometimes a vessel gets dirty, you got to wash it. Part of mine was my upbringing, because I was upbringing a very strict Pentecostal church. You know, it's always here with on the burnt house, I don't bring no baby in here. You know, I ain't taking care of no baby. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. So it was, I think it was all of those things coupled together. And then just my own guilt, just my own bad feelings about the situation. And then I was actually kind of confused because my pastor was like, nope, you're not leaving. You're going here. You're going to stay. You're going to work through it. And I'm like, I'm not used to working through things. I'm used to either winning or not playing the game at all. That's just how I thought. But I didn't want to struggle through it. For me, it would have been so much easier to, you know, move, go somewhere else. I would have made more money and not have to deal with people who I was dealing with. So for me, it felt bad because it was just a struggle. You know, well, Pastor, I don't think I should leave worship today because you know my situation. He said, no, get in there and go leave worship. You know, cause he would just tell me, he said, you're being silly. You act like you're the only person that's struggling with a sin. That's dumb. You're not the only person. You struggling, I'm struggling. And because you don't know mine doesn't mean I'm not struggling. And because you don't know everybody else's and everybody else knows yours, you know, that's the only difference is that people know. You're not any different. And I think that sometimes we judge ourselves and we put ourselves at a level based on what people know about. But for me, it was, huh?
I was just going to say, did your situation make you want to speed up the whole marriage process of, okay, you're pregnant, so let's go ahead and get married, because I don't want the backlash that may or may not come.
No, because I had already had the wedding and all of that stuff planned out before the event happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before she got pregnant, we had already had, you know, certain things already planned and worked out.
Okay.
So her pregnancy actually made me get married later than I had planned to. So no, that wasn't it for me. But, you know, and then I know that's a lot of the case for a lot of people. But, you know, my plans were already before that. But I knew that, you know, since she was pregnant, nobody believed that. So it's not even something that I would tell anybody or share.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you know, just struggling with it and having to live with that thing and make it happen, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
my pastor was like, oh, me, bring her to the church. Big belly and all. I'm like, oh, what you want me to do? Oh, you want people to try to kill me. You want them to crucify me. He said, no, this is what you have to do. You know, so when she's here in town, you bring her with you. You have an event, you bring her.
So you didn't even, she wasn't even in the church. You brought her in.
No, they didn't even
have to know.
Right. Well, no, she didn't live in the D.C. area.
So they didn't even have to know your business. You chose to tell the world.
Right. No, they didn't have to know. Well, no, I didn't choose. My pastor chose, and it was a great decision that he did. You know, and because his thing was, hey man, you're a powerful guy. You can't run from stuff. You can't hide stuff.
Yeah.
You can't get into that habit of running from a situation or trying to hide from a situation. You know, you're too powerful. You're needed here. I mean, if people need to see you struggle through this, and then they'll get encouragement by seeing your struggle. Because see, people only see people at the top or at the bottom. Nobody, and the problem with being transparent is that to, you know, usually talking about things that no one. When we're talking about being transparent, we're usually talking about being transparent about a struggle or a sin, but nobody ever sees anybody climb from fall, you know, from a fall back to where they were. And that's what other people had to see in me, and it helped me because people have a lot more respect for me than they did back then before they knew anything about me. Because they saw me struggle, they saw me climb and struggle, you know, especially people who were close to me. So I mean, I had to deal with what I had to deal with. So for me, you know, it was a great thing, and it helped me to be transparent, and it helped me not to run from my struggles, and it helped me to destroy the mask that so many people wear in church. So I can be real, and I can sleep well at night. I don't have things to hide or to cover. You know what I mean? So my experience with God, even in my experiences in church, is better because I don't have to wear a mask. But through all of that situation, I've learned how to be transparent.
Well, we still have a couple of more minutes. If there are any comments for our listeners and you want us to hear them, you'll have to pick up the phone and dial 760-683-2662. We want to hear from you. Heather.
Yes.
Can you tell us what next week's topic is going to be about?
I can. Actually, next week is Joey's week, and he's going to be talking about what is the meaning of relationship. Can I be in a romantic relationship? And then he has some objects of those affections that he wants to come from his sociological perspective with.
All right.
I don't want to let it all out because it is Joey's topic, but can you be romantically involved with objects and animals?
Say what?
I'm asking.
Yes, you can. Well, I don't know how far you want to take the romance with the object, but I think you can to some extent.
What?
You do?
Yeah. I mean, how many times has everybody heard it? Yo, that dude, he loves the H-E-double hockey sticks out of his car. The way he gives you so much attention. If it wasn't actual female, he'd be in love, married, about to have some kids. But to a certain extent, yeah, it's a stretch, but it's
just a stretch. Wait. Did we change the topic? Okay. All right. Well, this was a grand topic. Can you be transparent in the church? Listeners, I really hope that you got a lot out of it. Please join us next week where we are going to bring down the house. So thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you same time, same place next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Amongst Friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.